This is Sunday Focus, a weekly public affairs program that looks at the topics affecting our society and the people who are making a change in the community each and every day. The people who have vision for the next generation. Sunday Focus presents new challenges for us, keeping you informed with topics of local and regional interest. Now the host of Sunday Focus, Christine Manica.
Hello and good morning. Welcome back to another edition of Sunday Focus. We can't talk about our health enough. It is essential in our everyday lives. We're always told to get off the couch, get moving, eat healthier, and more importantly, be our own advocate when it comes to our body. The month of May is a great reminder to take our health seriously, especially for the American Heart Association. May is Stroke Month, and just like Heart Month in February, the American Heart Association emphasizes the importance of health and how you could stay on top of it. And joining us now to tell us more about our health, stroke month, and updates around the Sioux Empire with the American Heart Association is Chrissy Meyer, the communications director. Chrissy, good morning.
Good morning.
I feel like it was just yesterday that we sat down and talked.
Yeah, you know what? February feels like it was yesterday. It was just a hot minute ago.
Absolutely. Now, before we get into more about our health and the importance of Stroke Month, I want to recap the Go Red for Women event. I was there for it. And let me tell you, it was fun to learn about your heart health. That's weird to say, but I literally had a blast.
This year was, I think, one of my favorite events. You know, I've been doing this for almost 13 years now. And the energy in the room this year, the excitement, the event was just so much fun. And frankly, it was also really successful. We raised a lot of money, which is really kind of, you know, part of the plan. But it was just a really fun, really wonderful event.
I will say that I did get a little bit shell-shocked when I saw the poppers go off every time someone made a donation. And every time I'm looking at someone going around the room, I'm thinking, okay, I need to mentally prepare myself for this big pop that's coming up. But it's a good pop. It's exciting when you get those donations. And more importantly, when people learn about their heart health.
Exactly. I mean, it is one of our biggest fundraisers of the year, but it is also an opportunity in a captive audience to really educate women, especially about their risks for heart disease and stroke.
Yeah, absolutely. For anyone that hasn't been to the Go Red for Women campaign or doesn't really know what it's about, what is it?
Well, so Go Red for Women was started back in 2004. Because at that time, and also today, we noticed that women were not aware that heart disease is the number one killer and their number one health threat. And so it really was started as a campaign to educate women about that. And what it has grown into also is a campaign to better understand how heart disease impacts women. And so the campaign funds woman-focused heart disease and stroke research. And over the years, we've actually learned a lot about the differences between men and women, and it's helping us to better treat women when they need our help from heart disease, stroke, any of those kinds of things.
Excuse the pun here, but this campaign is literally the heart of the American Heart Association, and the mission of the organization continues to grow. Can you tell us more about who the American Heart Association is along with their mission?
Yeah, so we were founded a little over 100 years ago by six cardiologists who kind of were seeing the trend, the very scary trend that heart disease was killing more Americans than any other cause of death. And there was very little known about it. And at that time, if you received a diagnosis of heart disease, it was pretty much a death sentence. And so they knew we had to do better. And that's how we were founded, as a science-based organization to research the causes and treatments for heart disease and stroke. And so that's really the bread and butter of what we do today, is still fund that research. But then we also take that research and turn it into treatment guidelines and walk hand in hand with healthcare providers and hospitals to make sure that if you are having a heart attack or a stroke anywhere, you are being treated according to the latest science and the latest guidelines. And then obviously the other big piece is this public awareness and public education, and really helping people understand their risk and to make the lifestyle changes they can make to reduce their risk.
I want to give anybody listening right now an idea of the local impact that you guys have at the American Heart Association. Even though I'm stuck behind this microphone a good portion of my day, I had the opportunity and the privilege to go to this luncheon that you guys held for women in media, learning about heart health. And it was a fun afternoon together.
Yeah, you know, it was a little self-serving for us in some respects, but really we kind of thought about it. And it's like, you know what, maybe we need to kind of sit down with some of the women that are working in media in Sioux Falls and talk a little bit about heart health. And we know media is a very stressful industry.
Is it? And,
yes. And you know, it's constantly changing, constantly dynamic. Mm-hmm. And Sioux Falls has just got an incredible amount of people that work in media. And it also is a bit of a male-dominated industry from time mm-hmm. to time. And so carving out some special time to have special conversation with women who are in that industry and really kind of help them understand how to care for their hearts was something we wanted to just give a try this year. And I think it went really well.
I think it did too. You know, I can agree with you saying that not always do we take our heart health to the forefront of our mm-hmm. mind. And even it could be kind of stressful to hear about heart health and the effects and how we're affected by it. It could be stressful for someone to listen to and really sit down and focus with, but it does get you to pay attention a little bit more about your health, not just mm-hmm. you being at your desk or doing your everyday work, but also some healthier food choices that you may be bringing for yourself mm-hmm. at lunch or getting a little walk in around the office. And I think we all took away from that. We even had, the doctor's name slips yeah. from my mind, but she was also there to tell us more about heart health too, which was yeah. very helpful.
Yeah. And Dr. Kelly Steffen with the Avera Heart Hospital was just outstanding and excellent and kind of sharing her expertise. But I think, you know, my biggest takeaway, I obviously attend a lot of these kinds of events, and every time I take away something different. And I think the thing that I took away from this particular conversation that we had was start small, start with one thing. And you just hit the nail on the head, you know, like when you're trying to decide, what am I going to have for lunch today? Maybe throw a piece of fruit or an extra vegetable mm-hmm. in, or get up, go for a walk, take a little break. Not only, you know, that mental health break of reducing stress, but also just getting outside and walking has been shown to show tremendous benefits, even if it is for just 10 minutes. And so just thinking about that in terms of starting small and what are the little itty bitty things I can do every day. And those itty bitty little things add up to big changes.
Absolutely. So the media for women in media with the whole heart health, mm-hmm. I'd say that was pretty successful. But you guys offer a whole bunch of other programs too.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a lot of things that are going on right now where we've kind of transitioned into our Heart Walk season. We've got the Sioux Falls Heart Walk coming up, obviously, in August. And then we've got Heart Walks in Pier and Rapid City in September. So we've kind of transitioned to that, you know, to that focus. But in addition, we're, you know, also we have some HeartCore workers who are working here in the community. It's a division of the AmeriCorps program, and they're working on, you know, blood pressure and CPR training and those kinds of things. And obviously we're working in Pier on policy change and things that we can do to make our whole state healthier. So there's a lot of things going all of the time.
Absolutely. Not to mention the Mayor's Fitness Challenge going on. Another yep. reason to get outside and enjoy that sunshine too. Get your heart
pumping.
If you are just listening, we are being joined in the studio right now with Chrissy Meyer. She's the Communications Director with the American Heart Association and the Sioux Empire. So we talked enough about Heart Month. That's in the past. It was in February, but now May, you brought to my attention that it's all about raising awareness for strokes. So tell us more about Stroke Month with the American Heart Association.
Yeah. So, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. Stroke Month is really a month in May where we focus exclusively on educating people about the signs and symptoms of stroke, teaching them how to recognize if someone they know is having a stroke, how to prevent a stroke, and all of those kinds of things.
I think some people could be a little confused when it comes to signs of a heart attack and a stroke. Mm-hmm. I would say that they're fairly similar, but what are the difference between the two?
So they're similar in the respect that a heart attack occurs usually when a blood vessel that brings blood to the heart becomes either blocked or ruptures or dissects or something. And the blood that is flowing to that muscle, that part of the heart muscle, is interrupted. And it's really important to restore the blood flow to the heart so that the heart muscle doesn't die or get permanently damaged. So that's what a heart attack is. A stroke is very similar. I mean, you could also almost think of it as a brain attack in the sense that this is a blood vessel that brings blood oxygenated blood to a part in the brain. And when those blood vessels become blocked or rupture and the blood flow is interrupted to that part of the brain, those brain cells die. And it's about 2 million brain cells every minute that are dying. And so that's why it's so important to restore that blood flow to the brain as quickly as possible.
So when we talk about the signs of a stroke and symptoms, quick backstory for you. Mm-hmm. I've been very fortunate in my life to know my great grandma and my great aunt, and they lived 3 blocks away from me. So it was pretty common for us to go over, say hi to Gigi and Auntie. Mm-hmm. They would be quote unquote babysitting us, but we would actually babysit them just because we gave them company. And the one time that we were over at their house, my auntie opened up the door and all of a sudden her speech kind of got soft, slurred a little bit.
Yeah.
And we just couldn't understand her for maybe it was 10 seconds. And then her voice came back like nothing happened. And my mom knew right away. She's like, oh my gosh, Auntie is having a stroke. Took her to the doctor right away. Now, granted, thankfully, it was a mild stroke. Mm-hmm. But those are just some of the little symptoms that someone can notice in someone.
Yeah, we like to focus, and that's a great example. We focus on the word FAST, F-A-S-T. And that's a great way to remember how to spot a stroke. So F stands for face drooping. So is one side of their face kind of drooping down? Ask the person to smile. Mm. And if they're having trouble smiling. A stands for arm weakness. And so is one side of their body, their arms or their legs, are they having difficulty? So, you know, ask them to raise their arms. And if they can, if they can't raise one side or if one side starts drifting back down, that's a good indicator. So, and then S is speech, just what you talked about. So is their speech slurring? Are they having trouble finding words? Are they confused? So if you have any of those, face, arm, speech, the T in FAST stands for time. It is time to call 911. And the reason why we encourage people to call 911 is that care starts when you call. An ambulance is not just an expensive limo ride to the hospital, and EMS personnel are trained to effectively identify stroke and also alert and start the stroke system of care, which ensures that you get the right treatment in the right hospital in the fastest time possible, because time is brain.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. Now, you already explained the scientific reasons why strokes happen, but really, how can a stroke happen for someone that maybe is active and is trying to get a little bit more healthy? What are some things to improve their lifestyle?
Stroke is kind of hard because it can happen to anyone at any age at any time. And so we know that 80% of strokes can be prevented. So certainly there are things you can control, but there are things you can't. So, you know, your age, if you have a family history of stroke, if you've ever had, you know, a mini stroke or a TIA, that certainly puts you at higher risk. Those are things that you really can't control. But what we can control is managing diet, exercise, blood pressure is a huge risk factor for stroke. So making sure that we're doing the things we need to do to keep our blood pressure under control, and just really managing those risk factors. And the good news, though, is that if you're doing those things, it's not only good for the brain, it's good for the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And also doing those things reduces your risk for a lot of other chronic diseases as well.
Absolutely. Now, when you were talking about the different kinds of stroke, the mini, the example that comes in my head, just because I'm in the middle of finishing it right now, the crown, it's no secret how Princess Margaret lived her life and it resulted in multiple strokes towards the end of it. So what kind of the strokes was she experiencing, or what can people experience?
Well, you know, strokes are interesting. There's two main types of stroke. So about 87%, the most common type of stroke is what's known as an ischemic stroke. And this is when you have a clot, the blood vessel becomes clogged or blocked. And in an ischemic stroke, really what they're trying to do is either break up that clot or remove it. And so depending on where the stroke happens in your brain will also determine kind of the effects of the stroke. So ischemic stroke, most common, caused by a clot. The other type of stroke is called a hemorrhagic stroke. Mm. And this is what happens when you have a bleed into your brain. Mm. So the blood vessel begins bleeding into the brain. Now, these are, like I said, less common, but they are more deadly. Mm. And they can also be very dangerous because if the bleed is occurring in a very large blood vessel, it can affect a very large part of the brain and have even more, even larger impacts or effects.
Like heart attacks, does this affect more women than men, or what's kind of the breakdown when it comes to the demographics?
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked that. Actually, more women than men will experience a stroke in their lifetime.
Gosh darn it, us women.
You know, just one more example of how women, you know, are at higher risk. Strokes are also more deadly in women. And so, again, this is an opportunity for us to do a little bit more research and understanding why that is. But it's something that women really should be aware of. And especially as women reach their, you know, menopausal years, that's when the risk for stroke really increases.
More reason to keep up on your swim pool classes,
yes,
or
reason.
Maybe just chair yoga, whatever they do in the classes nowadays. How many people are affected by strokes each year?
So one person has a stroke about every 40 seconds. Mm. So it really is very common. It is the number 5 cause of death. And in South Dakota, I want to say it was, you know, it's a few hundred people a year that that pass away from stroke. But when you combine it with heart disease, it does kind of become the number one killer.
Yeah. Time is everything for strokes as well. If you were just listening, we are talking with Chrissy Meyer of the American Heart Association about Stroke Month for the month of May for the American Heart Association. So I love this program that you guys have going on for stroke cases in South Dakota. It's called Mission Lifeline Stroke. Tell us what this is all about.
So this is actually something that I am so excited about. It's a program that we launched in October. It's a $5 million initiative that it will, over 3 years, improve stroke care across the state. Mm. The project was really kind of funded foundationally by a grant from the Leona M. and Harry B. Helmsley Charitable Trust. And what we're trying to do here is connect all aspects of acute stroke care into one system. So EMS, hospitals, rehabilitation facilities, government agencies, connecting all of us together into a system that ensures that no matter where you are in the state of South Dakota, you receive the very best care, because your zip code shouldn't determine whether or not you can survive a stroke.
No, we were talking about how time is critical for stroke patients, part of FAST, especially in rural communities. Now, getting information and education, like you said, is important. How is the American Heart Association educating rural communities about the risk of stroke and, more importantly, time?
Yeah, so a big piece of the Mission Lifeline campaign is public awareness. Mm. And so we're going to be launching actually a large public awareness campaign that will blanket the state here in the month of May. So again, educating people about FAST and to call 911. Another thing is that we have got now 24 sites across the state, and more coming on every day, but 24 sites across the state. These are hospitals and healthcare systems that are signing on to participate. And so they're in their communities, not only educating their healthcare providers on the best treatments for stroke, but also getting out into the community and educating individual communities. We also have 10 sites that have come on board for the what we call the post-acute side of that. So this is the rehabilitation side. So once you've had your stroke, going back into your community for rehabilitation, we know that's such a vital piece of the puzzle for the best possible outcomes with stroke recovery. And so we're really working with swing bed facilities, nursing homes, therapists, occupational therapists, physical therapists, speech therapists, on integrating some of the best rehab across the state that we can.
You mentioned that Mission Lifeline Stroke is already making a difference and has been since October. Mm-hmm. Can you provide some examples?
Well, I think the best example here is in the number of facilities that have come on board. You know, already having, you know, 24 sites that are, you know, working with this, you know, guideline and science-based approach to care has been a huge impact, you know, and having, you know, the rehabilitation sites coming on board has been good. We've been holding educational webinars and seminars, kind of, again, educating healthcare providers. And then I think, you know, this public awareness campaign that we're going to be launching in May is really going to move the needle on awareness. We're going to be able to reach so many more people with the signs and symptoms, what to look for, and what to do.
We've been emphasizing that it shouldn't matter the zip code that you grew up in when it comes to getting quality health care, especially for your cardiovascular health. What are other big needs for the rural community, in your opinion, or maybe you've talked to other people about their needs when it comes to getting access to that health care?
I think that's a huge challenge, and I really don't have, you know, the answers. I think this is one of the biggest challenges that our state is facing, is that we have many rural hospitals that either are in danger of closure or, you know, are underfunded, understaffed. We need to find ways to ensure that our healthcare systems are able to function in every community or in rural communities. You know, when you have a situation, if you live in, say, Buffalo, South Dakota, for example, way up there in the northwest corner of the state, you're at best, if the weather's nice, 2 hours from your nearest stroke-capable hospital or hospital that's capable of handling a heart attack, for example. And like we said, time is brain. We know that a lot of the treatments for stroke require, you know, you to be receiving treatment within hours, not days. And so making sure that we have a system in place that can get people to the place they need to be, the right hospital in the right amount of time, is really got to kind of be the focus.
Does that kind of go hand in hand with keeping doctors and nurses in South Dakota? Because that definitely makes an impact, too, if we have the medical professionals and the minds behind this health.
Absolutely. I think that's a huge piece of the puzzle. I think another big piece of the puzzle is EMS itself. In many of our communities across the state, emergency medical services are volunteer services. And so we really, as a state, probably have to take a look at that and look at what are the best ways that we can support EMS and make sure communities where we have ambulance services that are in danger of closing. You know, are there other creative ways that we can be supporting our EMS services and also providing maybe preventative healthcare services in these communities? So I think these are all questions and things that I know the South Dakota Department of Health is having active conversations on, and we're participating in those. But we've got, you know, kind of a lot of big issues and a lot of big problems that we're going to have to solve. And certainly Mission Lifeline is attempting, you know, to be a piece of that puzzle, but there are a lot of other pieces that we're going to have to figure out.
It's already an improvement, in my opinion, just from looking at the program and everything that it offers. When you think about this program and maybe other advancements when it comes to our heart health, stroke health, where do you see it in the next 5 to 10 years?
You know, it's really interesting. We had a landmark study that came out last June that actually took a look at some kind of important trends in heart health. And, you know, there was a mixture of some maybe not so good news and maybe some bad news.
There always has to be a little bit of bad news.
A little bit of both. But I mean, I think the biggest thing that was kind of we took away from that study was that by 2050, we're going to see huge increases in cardiovascular disease and risk factors contributing. So, for example, high blood pressure is projected to increase from 51% of the population to 61% of the population. And since high blood pressure is a type of cardiovascular disease, it also is a risk factor. That means that more than 184 million people are going to have a clinical diagnosis of cardiovascular disease by the year 2050. Compared to 128 million now. So that's a lot. We also know that other kinds of things, stroke, for example, is going to increase. Stroke prevalence is projected to nearly double. Obesity is going to increase, diabetes, high blood pressure, et cetera. So not some great news on that front. However, the good news is that people are choosing to live healthier and people are having conversations. And so more adults in the U.S. are embracing healthy behaviors, such as our Life's Essential 8, which is kind of a guide to healthy living. And so we're projecting that people are going to start to be more active. We're also projecting that tobacco use is going to continue to drop. And that we're also going to see some slight improvements in diet overall. So while there is kind of that concerning increase in cardiovascular disease, we also are going to see some changes in overall behavior too. I think the thing that mostly is going to be driving those increases is the fact that our population is getting older. And as population ages, we know that age is absolutely a risk factor. And so that's something that we're just going to have to kind of keep an eye on.
Absolutely. When you talk about behavior, this could be kind of a confusing question. Mm-hmm. Do you think that the risk of strokes are kind of overlooked because people are worried more about their heart health? Again, very confusing, but mm-hmm. what are your thoughts on that?
I think that typically people think of stroke as an old person's disease, as something that you don't need to worry about when you're younger. But what we are seeing is that, you know, younger people are having strokes. And we really stress the fact that anyone at any age can have a stroke. In fact, I was just working with a stroke survivor in Iowa over the weekend that is 12 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
Had her first stroke the very first day of track practice. And so because it's something that, you know, when a young person is presenting with stroke symptoms, you know, it's possible that healthcare personnel might overlook that as the diagnosis because young people don't have strokes. Well, that's something that's got to change, and we have to start looking at that. I think overall, because heart disease and stroke are so closely related, the overall messaging needs to be that what's good for your heart is good for your brain. And if you are doing the things that you need to do to be taking care of your heart health, you're also going to be taking care of your brain health and, like I mentioned, coincidentally, reducing risk for other chronic diseases like cancer or diabetes or dementia. So really those lifestyle factors, and that's the hard part, it just means we're all going to have to do a little better. Those are the things that really we can control to make an impact on our overall health.
Would you say that people are more interested and they are actively educating themselves on their heart health as well as stroke risk?
I definitely think heart health gets a lot more of the headlines. Mm-hmm. I definitely think people are a lot more aware. Like I said, I think people think of stroke as something they don't need to worry about until they're much older. But they walk hand in hand.
They really do. And what else do you think people can do to educate themselves more?
I think the number one thing that we really encourage people to do is to follow Life's Essential 8. And we have on our website, if you go to heart.org/Life's 8, there is the Life's Essential 8 risk calculator, basically. I like to call it the Cosmo quiz for heart health. So you can go out there and answer some questions about your lifestyle. And really, when we talk about Life's Essential 8, what we're talking about is diet, so eating healthy, physical activity, tobacco use, weight management, and then blood pressure, blood glucose, cholesterol. And the final thing that was just added to the mixture is sleep habits, knowing that being able to get enough sleep. So you take you can kind of answer some questions about all of those eight areas, and it'll give you a score and tell you, hey, this is how you're doing, and here are some things you can do to improve. And we encourage people to take that and go to their annual Well Woman exam or their annual physical and have a conversation with their healthcare provider about how am I doing? How can I do better? If you don't know those blood measurements, if you don't know your cholesterol, if you don't know your blood pressure, get it measured. That's a great time to get that done. But knowing your numbers, knowing your risk, and knowing what you can do. And again, like we talked about very early on, small changes, little things, adding more fruits and vegetables to every meal, taking a little bit of a break and walking. If you're a tobacco user, quit using tobacco, those kinds of things.
It's easy stuff that goes a long way. Chrissy Meyer, the communications director with the American Heart Association. Chrissy, before we let you go, can you mention those events and any volunteer opportunities that you have coming up? I know you talked about some mm-hmm. of the runs and walks coming up earlier, but for anyone who missed out on hearing that.
Yeah. So the Sioux Falls Heart Walk is coming up on August 16th here in Sioux Falls. It'll be held at Fawick Park that Saturday morning. And SouthDakotaHeartWalk.org is the website for that to find more information. Definitely some volunteer opportunities, but also an opportunity to get involved, come out and go for a walk that day. We also have Heart Walks in Pierre and Rapid City in September. And the website for those is WestCentralSDHeartWalk.org.
Wonderful. And for anyone that has more questions about Stroke Month and what they can do to stay healthy,
head to stroke.org.